At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is VSiN's Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show, with Wes Reynolds and sometimes Matt Eumanns. Here is Brady Cannon.
All right, this is Matt Eumanns. Sometimes Brady Cannon is here, but he's not today. This is Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf show and golf betting show. And I'm sad to report that Brady Cannon's not here because the LIV Golf Tour was looking for a podcast host and threw a bundle of money at Brady, and he's gone. He's off to the Saudis.
But you're happy to accept it, correct?
He's hosting a podcast called LIV Shots. No, that's not true. Brady's going to be back next week. He just took a quick vacation to Colorado. Wes Reynolds joins me. Wes, riding high off a U.S. Open win with Matt Fitzpatrick. I had the bridesmaid, Will Zalatoris. And, Wes, you also had Zalatoris. We had a three-horse race to the finish line at the U.S. Open right outside of Boston. Matt Fitzpatrick wins it, tied for second with Willie Z and Scheffler, the Masters champ. A thrilling back nine on Sunday at Brookline.
Yeah, two bridesmaids in a row, by the way, for Will Zalatoris in majors, of course, was second at the PGA in the playoff, lost to Justin Thomas. But Matt Fitzpatrick, look, well done all around, ends up 6 under par, winning by one. And if you look at the numbers, really go inside the stats, number one in strokes gained around the green. We thought that was going to be very important this week. Fast greens and very small greens up there at Brookline. First in greens and regulation, 17 of 18 greens on a major championship Sunday. That's usually going to get it done. Certainly did for Fitzpatrick. Number two, also, what people I think really marveled at that maybe haven't been following Fitzpatrick lately, he has absolutely added length off the tee. And I think the commentator on NBC, I believe, is Dan Hicks, like, averaging about 10 yards more a distance. I'm like, I'll take the over on that because he's absolutely smoking it off the tee. He was second for strokes gained off the tee, fifth in driving accuracy, 10th in strokes gained approach. So that's going to get it done. Matt Fitzpatrick finally gets a win on American soil. He actually wins the U.S. Open on the same course that he won the U.S. Amateur back in 2013. Only two other players have ever done that. Jack Nicklaus won the U.S. Open and the U.S. Amateur, both at Pebble Beach. Julie Inkster on the women's side did the same, the U.S. Women's Amateur and the U.S. Women's Open at Prairie Dunes.
All right. A history lesson there from Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, we give little nuggets. We find some things, but nevertheless, Will Zalatoris, at least he was in the fight again. I don't think that this is like Xander Schauffele syndrome, a guy you and I have bet on quite frequently.
Yeah, I gave up on Xander.
Yeah, we're not giving up, though, I don't think, on Will Zalatoris just
yet. I think
yet.
Xander Schauffele has turned into the next Ricky Fowler. And at some point, when Ricky Fowler finished in the top five of all four majors, a lot of people were betting him, including me, to win a major. And eventually, I had to give up. I said, the kid doesn't have it. He doesn't have the it factor it takes to win these type of tournaments when the pressure's on. Xander Schauffele statistically profiled as a guy who was going to win a major. He still might. But I had to pull the plug on him last year. I don't bet.
But you got tired of paying the weight. It's like, let me let him win one before I bet one again.
I mean, Schauffele won a couple tournaments for me, but not Nothing like a major. And he collapsed so many times, so it looked to me like he wasn't going to win when the pressure was on. And there's a lot of pressure, Wes, down the stretch. I don't think Will Zalatoris gave in to pressure.
No.
Matt Fitzpatrick hit a couple big shots.
He just got beat.
He hit a bomb on the green. He hit a long putt. He hit a great fairway bunker shot on the 72nd hole. Mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick just outplayed him down the stretch. I don't think Zalatoris collapsed. All right, so as we move on toward the fourth major of the 2022 year, we look at the British Open next month. What do you take away from the U.S. Open that you can apply to handicapping the British, and who would be right now maybe your top five as we look to St. Andrews in July?
Well, I think when you look, obviously, you know, it's going to be hard to get away from Will Zalatoris. I know not a lot of Lynx golf experience, but you know who else didn't have a lot of Lynx golf experience? Colin Morikawa last year at Royal St. George. I remember the week before he missed the cut at the Scottish Open, and it's like, yeah, I'm really having trouble on my irons, you know, getting through the ball because this turf is thicker over here in Scotland. So what does he do? He changes a couple irons in his bag, gets a couple longer irons in terms of shaft length, and then goes and wins the Claret Jug last year. So I don't think – you don't want to necessarily overrate Lynx experience because Colin Morikawa showed you can absolutely win without a lot of it, and I think Zalatoris could be the same. The obvious favorite is going to be Rory McIlroy, yet another top 10. I think he was tied for fifth last weekend. So three top 10s, second, eighth, and fifth so far in the major season in 2022. So you got to expect he's going to get a lot of play, and of course, being such a historic course at St. Andrews, I could see absolutely why he's the favorite. The usual suspects are right up there. The Rahm, Scheffler, Thomas. Morikawa's a little bit shorter because he is the defending champion. Jordan Spieth has won over there before. Matt Fitzpatrick, all of a sudden now a top five to top seven guy on the odds board, and that's about where I thought he would be. But I'm going to be looking, you know, a little bit because it's going to be hard over the next couple weeks because you're going to see a lot of these top players take off. I don't think you're going to see a lot of them play the John Deere or play the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So the next time after this week, we may see some top players is at the Scottish Open.
You know, Frank Nobilo. Did I pronounce that right?
Frank Nobilo.
Nobilo. I knew that. I just choked under pressure. Frank Nobilo joined us on Follow the Money yesterday morning. He's CBS sports golf analyst. And Frank said he thinks Rory can play St. Andrews in his sleep, and he's one of his top five players for the British next month. He said he wasn't sure how Will Zalatoris would adapt to the wind and Lynx golf, and I think that's a question that a lot of us who've been betting Willie Z have to answer by the time we handicap that. I did not make any early bets for the British.
I haven't either.
Okay. Well, how about this week at the Travelers? We have a strong field. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy at top. Spieth is here this week as well. Wes, when you looked at the board, did you play any of the favorites, any of the top five or six guys? Because I did not.
Just one, and that was Patrick Cantlay at 15-1, who has some decent history here. Actually shot a 60 as an amateur when he was still a student at UCLA back in 2011. That's still the lowest round by an amateur ever to be shot on the PGA Tour. And I thought he played solid last weekend. I think, you know, we're kind of getting lukewarm on Cantlay because he hasn't done it in a major yet. He's got one top five, I think, in like 21 major championship starts. But T14 shot 70-69, one under par on the weekend. And plus, this is a Pete Dye course, by the way, here at TPC River Highlands. 6,852 yards, par 70. It's like the second shortest course on the PGA Tour, I believe. So this is a guy, when you look at Pete Dye designs, number one in total stroke gain on Pete Dye courses last 24, 36, and 50 rounds. He was in the playoff on a Pete Dye course earlier this year, and Jordan Spieth nicked him in the playoff. So you could see why those two guys are getting supported here. But basically, when you look at the courses and, you know, some of the stats, you got to gain off the tee here, even though this isn't a bomber's course, but you got to have a good mix of length and accuracy. Approach is always important. Proximity, about half of your shots into the green are going to be in like the 150-yard range. So I looked at proximity 150 to 175. I also looked strokes gained par 4, 400 to 450. This is a par 70. 8 of the 12 par 4s are between 400 and 450 yards. So I think you're going to want to look at that very closely this week.
All right, that's the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. Do you think it's a hangover week for the top players off the major? Because a lot of times the week after a major, as a handicapper, I have a hard time sometimes getting excited for the event. I would think as a player, you would have to have a kind of a similar feeling about
it. You know, it very well could be. And when I looked at a lot of the guys on the top of the boards, you don't have a lot of contending finishes here between like Thomas and McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler. He's played here twice. I think his best finish is 47th, obviously a much different player now. You've seen Chalk win here a couple times. It was Spieth in 2017 was a 10-1. Bubba Watson in 2015 was a 14-1. But a lot of the winners in recent years have come kind of in the mid-range. Harris English 35-1 last year. DJ 30-1 in 2020. You had Ches Reavie, I think, at around 70-1 that was a winner here in 2019. So middle range guys, I think, is where the bulk of my card comes.
Yeah, 2019, I was at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and I watched Ches Reavie that week, and I loved the way he was striking the ball. Yeah. And I said, I'll take a shot on him at a big number.
And beat my Keegan Bradley down the stretch there. He finished
well,
second.
Well, Wes, you can't win them all. All right, let's bring in Chris the Bear Felica from ESPN. Joins us now to handicap this week's golf tournament. Bear, thanks for jumping on today. Have you cashed tickets to win in any of the three majors so far this season?
Yes, I had Scottie Scheffler at the Masters, which was very good. I had Justin Thomas at the PGA, which was good. And then last week, I was extremely unlucky. I backed three guys pretty good last week. Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, and Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. And ironically, too, I had Colin Morikawa mid-round on Friday at 20-1 to be the 36-hole leader. So it was the 60-foot putt by Joel Damon on Friday that split that 20-1 ticket, and then on on Sunday it was a 60-foot putt by Matt Fitzpatrick that kind of put the damper on my Scottie Scheffler ticket. So no luck at the U.S. Open, but I'll certainly take what I've had so far. Just quickly echoing what you guys were just talking about the U.S. Open and kind of is there a lull? Interestingly, every winner of the Travelers since 2016, it has coming off of played in the U.S. Open. So maybe it's not necessarily guys who have contended, like you said, with like a Ches Reavie or a Keegan Bradley or someone like that. But they have played the week before, and really not a very difficult travel situation here. Just an easy hour and a half drive down from Boston course. Kind of grass is kind of similar. Landscape is kind of similar. So. I would think that the winner probably will come again for one of those guys who played up in Brookline this past week.
Wes Reynolds and I both had JT at the PGA, and I've had Will Zalatoris in the PGA and the U.S. Open. So I'm getting a little tired, Bear, of finishing second with Willie Z, but I'm not alone. A lot of people have played Willie Z this year and come up short in the majors. All right, so we go from Boston to Cromwell, Connecticut. This is your neck of the woods, the Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands. What type of player do you think fits the profile at that course this week?
I think distance certainly. It's a short one of the shortest courses out there. So you would think distance isn't necessarily a mandate, and the course is played pretty fair. You've seen your bombers who just kind of drive it all over the place, like Bubba Wynn. You've seen some of your in-between guys and some of your shorter hitters, whether it's been a Ches Reavie or whether it's been a Harris English. So like, I don't think it necessarily favors a particular type of bomber or a shortcut, but I think a couple of things that I would look forward to, maybe accuracy might not be as important as distance if you want to just give yourself an easier shot in them. I think how well you play par fours is big. A good number of par fours on this course, you're going to get a winner probably in the 17, 18, 19 under par range because of the ease that they're going to attack the screens. And I think one thing to consider as well, with the winning score being so low, it's kind of humid right now. We're going to get rain tonight. We're going to get rain Wednesday. It's going to be very hot and humid on the weekend. And a very little wind. This course is going to be pretty defenseless without any wind to kind of maybe speed some of those greens up. So I'd be looking for a guy that can play par four as well and can go out and shoot a really low number.
Bear, we've got five of the top 10 in the world rankings here this week. And as you mentioned, Travelers have been getting really good field at the top,
at least over recent years. And, you know, you look at the guys, you got, I believe, five guys anywhere from 10-1 to like 18, maybe just a little bit inside 20-1. Did any of those favorites necessarily appeal to you this week?
Yeah, one of the shorter prices is a guy who I like, Sam Burns. He's someone who I actually laid a pretty big price before the year started on him not to win a major. So I got a little bit of a queasy stomach over the weekend up at Brookline this past week. But I like Sam Burns this week. If you look at the way he plays, the shorter type course, it should fit him. You look at the weeks he's won. He won at Innsbruck the week after the Players. He won at Colonial the week after the PGA. Shorter type courses. Not going to find a shorter course than this. He improved his finish each year at River Highlands. So I would think that he's a logical guy amongst like the guys shorter than 20-1 to win. And, you know, what you guys are talking about too, about the baggage and maybe the scar tissue. I mean, how do you feel about a guy like Scotty Scheffler, who is right in it, very easily could have won or at least been in a playoff? Does he kind of feel disappointed? Whereas Burns, he was kind of out of the mix somewhat early on Sunday for sure, and he doesn't have like the mental concerns I think that someone like Scheffler might have. So, but if Scotty Scheffler wins and plays well, it certainly wouldn't surprise me. At the bet at a bigger price, I want to take a shot on Burns.
Bear, if you look down kind of at the middle of the market, and by and large over the last few years, if you really look at the prices that have cashed, you've seen a lot of guys kind of like 30, 40-1-ish. I know Reavie in 2019 was 70-1, a longer shot, and a couple chalky guys mixed in there when Spieth won, when Bubba won here for the third time. But did you find anything kind of in that 30-40-1 price range that looked a little attractive to you this week?
Yeah. Keegan Bradley at 35-1 to win and plus around 240 or so to finish in the top 10 was something that I'd be very interested in. I don't want to say it's a home game for him again, but he's going to have a big supporting group in the New England course. He was a runner-up here in 2019. I mean, yeah, he played really well at Brookline. I mean, he fell out of contention pretty early on Sunday, but again, that might be a good thing. So he's not overly disappointed that he didn't win or miss a big shot late and be lamenting about that. You look at his last nine stroke play events, beginning with the Arnold Palmer. 5 top tens, 3 top fives, a really good driver of the golf ball. And his putting has improved quite a bit, as we saw him make a lot of putts early, at least in the U.S. Open. That somebody had let him down some. But I think in terms of like those mid prices there, Keegan Bradley at 35-1, I think is someone that fits the bill for me.
Bear likes to handicap the horses. Wes, if there's a horse for the course here, a couple of them, who would they be?
Yeah, if you were to look over, I think, recent years, Keegan Bradley certainly could be one of them. Had that runner-up, of course, at Chez Reavie in 2019, a couple other top 10s. And another guy, Mark Leishman, always plays very well here. Brendan Steele, those were a couple guys that made my cards this week. And those are guys you see get a lot of top 10s, top 15s, top 25s. So course form could matter here. But look, we've got a more quality field as well here, so we got to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see these odds adjusted at the top of the board.
Well, it's a really good field the week after a major. Chris, I'd love to talk college football win totals with you for a while, but this is a golf show, so let's get to it. I got to let you run today. Sum up your best bets or what you're going to play for the Travelers Championship this week.
All right, I'm going to play Sam Burns to win and Sam Burns to finish top 10. I'm going to play Keegan Bradley to win, Keegan Bradley top 10. And you talked about a horse for course. Patrick Cantlay is a horse for course here. He has had 4 straight top 15s at this event. This course kind of, I think, fits his M.O., any improvement from what he's had in the last 4 years here puts him right in the top 10. And you were looking for another one of those mid type of shots. I think Seamus Power is someone you could take a look at as well. I like him in that matchup, the head to head against Sungjae Im, and he's around plus 250 or so to be in the top 10 as well. Guy posted top 12 finishes in both the U.S. Open and the PGA. 5 straight top 25s prior to the U.S. Open. Something to scoff at for Sungjae Im, the matchup that I'm playing in. But it feels like you're left wanting more, expecting more with Sungjae Im. But if you look at the year that Power has had and how he's improved as well as Cromwell, I think he's in a good spot. So I'm going to take Power over Sungjae Im and then in those derivative markets as well.
Seamus Power is on my card as well. Chris the Bear Felica, catch him on ESPN's Daily Wager Show. Bear, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bear.
Right. We got his best bets. Let's get to ours. I'll talk about mine quickly. We get to you, Wes. Joaquin Niemann's going to be a common play for us this week. He's 3 for 3 and made cuts here, tied for 5th in 2019. I thought Joaquin played well in the first couple rounds of the U.S. Open. They kind of blew up with a 76 over the weekend and faded away. It doesn't – sometimes I think the week after a major, the guys who were not in contention down the stretch might have a little bit of an advantage the next week.
Yeah, they get absolutely forgotten about it. And to your point on Niemann, I'm also on him as well. Top 6 in this week's field for strokes gained off the tee. I think that is going to be very important. By the way, you do have some thick rough here. It is about 4 inches thick, so you don't want to necessarily hit it in that stuff. The fairways are relatively wide, but you can take a lot of different angles at the pins here. But we've seen the bombers, you know, win here, DJ, Bubba Watson, but we've seen plotters like Spieth, like Ken Duke, like Ches Reavie win here. So Niemann, I think, really good off the tee. Also top 6 in this field for strokes gained around the green. Strokes gained par 4s, as Bear mentioned. Par 4s, especially 400 to 450 yards. 8 of the 12 par 4s are of that length this week.
All right. Davis Riley, a guy I'm going to play too. 42-1. And Davis Riley's got 4 top 10s in his last 7 starts. He was top 15 at the PGA, tied for 31st at the U.S. Open. A former Alabama Crimson Tide player. Did you know Davis Riley was a top-ranked college player entering his junior year at Bama?
I did know that,
yeah,
as a matter of fact.
I figured
of course,
you did.
JT, Justin Thomas, also a fellow Tide alum.
How about Aaron Wise, former Oregon Duck who lives in Vegas? I'm going to go with Wise this week. He actually tied for 27th last week, 68-68 to open. It looked like he was going to be in the hunt over the weekend at the Open. And it didn't happen for him, but I think Aaron Wise at 50-1 has got a shot this week. And Seamus Power, who tied for 12th at the U.S. Open, is another guy I'm going to play as a long shot. So we've got Niemann, Riley, Wise, and Power. Those are the guys on my card this week. And we're talking about Scottie Scheffler, by the way. And I was trying to find a matchup that I could play with Scheffler this week, but I really couldn't find one that fit what I was looking for. He won 4 times in 6 starts.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley's winless in his last 6, but he's got 2 seconds
right
in there. I don't think Scottie Scheffler is the type of guy who gets rattled by that. He's a guy who seems like he's going to be in contention almost every
week. Yeah, maybe he is built different because, you know, when a guy wins, and we saw this with Brooks Koepka obviously being in the news today. It looks like he is going to join the LIV Golf Tour here at the beginning of July. And you know, when he won those majors in a row, it's like, oh, my God, this dude's going to win like 10 majors. You know, we become POTM.
A lot of people said the same thing about Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, we become prisoners of the moment, you know, so to speak. And then it's like, well, we forget these guys get hurt and things happen and their lives changes. They get married. They have children, what have you. But Scottie Scheffler does seem like a guy that is built a little bit different that's going to keep continuing. So, you know, I never want to, when somebody gets hot like that, you know, totally jump all in on him. But he's showing that he's got staying power. Power. And speaking of power, I'm also on power, Seamus Power, this week. I got him just a little bit of a hair under 50-1. Look, 3rd at the Sony this year, 9th at Pebble Beach, quarterfinalist at the match play. So he's had really good finishes, but I've been really impressed at majors. Made the cut his first time at the Masters, which a lot of guys don't do. He's T27, T9 at the PGA, T12 last weekend at the U.S. Open. I think there's some signs that maybe a potential big-time player. I don't want to get too far ahead of the skis here, but that this is a guy that's going to win something big. This guy's going to win, you know, it's not going to be the Barbasol Championship, which is his lone PGA Tour win so far. This guy's going to beat a really good field in a really good event, maybe coming soon, and it might be this weekend. 66-67 over the first 2 rounds here last year before he finished 19th.
All right, so who else do you have on your card in the final 2 minutes here? Your best bets, and also tell people where they can find your write-ups and your scouting reports for the other tournaments this week.
Yeah, I'll start that. By the way, the DP World Tour over in Munich, Germany. We do have the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Congressional Country Club this week, and also the U.S. Senior Open. So those will be at vsin.com. The PGA Tour event this week, the Travelers Championship, and the DP World Tour event, you get a point spread weekly. That'll be sent out to subscribers in the morning. But just to conclude the card, Patrick Cantlay, 15-1. I'm with Bear. Of any of the chalky guys, he was the guy I liked the best. Led the field off the tee in the final round at the U.S. Open on Sunday. Top 15 each of the last 4 years here. Mentioned that 60 shot back in 2011. Pete Dye guy, you know, call him Pat Dye. That was the Auburn coach, but maybe you can call him Pat Dye here because he is great on Pete Dye Designs, number one in this field, by the way. Sun JM, 30-1. I'm going to buy on the dip a little bit. Disappointed last week with the miscut at the U.S. Open, but four straight top 25s seem to be rounding in the form. Top 10 in this field in strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained off the green. And, of course, I mentioned I'm on you with you on Neiman. Keegan Bradley also played at 35-1. First top 10 in a major since 2014 at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. Mm-hmm. Last weekend at the Country Club, you saw how, like, pumped up he was to play in front of that crowd. He gets another home crowd here in Connecticut up there in New England. Now back in the OWGR, the ranking top 50, two top fives, four top tens this year. I think he's going to go well and maybe get that elusive title that eluded him back in 2019. Mark Leishman, 60-1, who actually is a former winner here, 2012. One cut in 11 starts is all he's missed here at TPC River Highlands. Five times inside the top five, third place last year when he was well out of form, 14th last week at the U.S. Open, best outing on approach of the season last week at the Country Club, so his irons look like they're in really good shape. And then Brendan Man of Steel, 65-1. 11 appearances here, and if you look, he was third in 2011, 13th in 13, 5th in 2014, 17th in 2016, 14th 2017, and 6th in 2020, 13th at the Players this year, 4th at the Zurich team event with Keegan Bradley, 9th at the PGA, that was his best finish ever at a major, and 10th at the Memorial a couple weeks ago. So four top 13s in his last six starts for one Brendan Steele.
All right, let's cash some tickets this week, just like Wes Reynolds did on Matt Fitzpatrick at the U.S. Open. Brady Cannon returns next week, and thanks to Chris DeBear Felica of ESPN. This is Long Shots on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.